Well, I hope it's not a disappointment to the young people to stay in and listen to some old-timer preach. I'm glad you are here, though. The lesson I've chosen is not particularly for young people, but equally, I think it will apply to young and old. And so, though it's not something special for you, neither is it something that's overlooking you, and it's just for the older people, and I'll have to endure it for 45 minutes. No, you don't. It'll be a lesson that I hope you'll find profitable, too. Go ahead and find the scripture reference that we'll notice in a minute, Philippians chapter 2. I'll give you a moment or two to find it, and you'll be right ready to go when we get started in the lesson in just a couple minutes. It's Philippians chapter 2. In fact, I think I'll just go ahead and read it now, and we'll get right underway. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 14 through 16. Philippians 2, 14 through 16 reads, "Do all things without complaining." Now, I have the New King James Version. Yours may be slightly different. It may say grumbling. "Do all things without grumbling, complaining, and questioning or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I've not run in vain or labored in vain." You know, if you were going to pick out something, if you had to, and I know there's more than one answer, but if you were going to pick out one thing, pick out something that you think so clearly sets Christians apart from the worldly people, what would it be? Give you a second to think about it. If you were just, I know there's more than one answer, but what might it be that first comes to your mind? Maybe we could word it that way. What comes first to your mind as something that sets you apart from the world? If you're a Christian, what would that be? Maybe some might be quick to say, well, Christians don't use foul language. That's a good one. That's a good answer. There's a clear distinction between the world and the Christian in their language and the way they speak. Or it might be, I don't covet like people of the world do. They're always wanting more and more and more stuff. They're always into things, and they just got to have more and more, and they're always desirous, never seem to have enough. Christians, I'm very content with what I have, and I'm very thankful for what I have. Well, that's a good answer. I'm not hateful as a Christian, and boy, you should see some of the people I know in the workplace or at school. Are they ever a hateful bunch? And it seems that it's just they're down on the world, and they're mad at the world, and they're angry young men, and it's that's not me. I'm very happy all the time. I'm a joyful Christian, and there's a clear distinction between me and the worldly people that I associate with in my lack of hate for anybody. Or I don't get drunk, and you should see some of my friends and some of my coworkers. They don't mind telling you in a moment how they really threw a pretty big drunk this past weekend, you know, pretty much lasted the whole weekend, you know, that kind of thing. Me, I don't touch the stuff. I don't get drunk, and it's a clear distinction or separation, if you will, between me and the world. Well, all of those are good answers, and I'm sure there's maybe 100 more, but how about this one? I don't grumble, and I don't complain. Would you have ever thought of that one? What's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? The Christian does not complain. The Christian does not grumble. That's the one that Paul singles out right here. Did you notice as we were reading in Philippians? Did you notice it? Look at it again. He indicates there in 12 through or 14 through 16 that you don't need to grumble or complain or be involved in a lot of disputings and questionings. And by the way, that's a whole nother study about the questionings and disputing, quarreling idea. We'll leave that for Jeff or somebody else sometime. I'm just picking up on the front end of it. Do all things without complaining or grumbling so that you can be seen in the world as a person of light, he indicates. So that in the midst of a dark generation out there, you can be seen as at least someone who's holding up a light for what's right and what's good. And how do you do that? By not complaining. By not grumbling. If you're a complainer and a grumbler, someone's putting your light out, or you are putting your light out, and you're not shining like a light in a dark world by doing so. But there's more to it also. Notice the verses again. I'm just dissecting it a little bit here. He indicates that this is needful too, so that you can be truly a child of God without fault. Let's just reverse that or turn it up, you know, turn it over. If you are a grumbler and complainer, you may be a child of God, but you have a fault. You have a fault. You grumble and complain is not something to applaud yourself for. I'm a grumbler and complainer. Isn't that nice? No, it isn't. It's a weakness you have. It's a fault I have. You're not a child of God, as he words it there in the middle of 15. You want to be a child of God without fault in the midst of a crooked generation. If that's to be, you've got to leave off the grumbling and the complaining. But he's not through yet. The Holy Spirit indicates in the latter part, verse 16 of our reading, if you are not going to be, now let's word it differently. If you are grumbling and complaining, you're not going to be able to hold fast faithfully to God's Word and do so. You want to be holding fast the Word of life, and by implication, I know we've heard that word two or three times this weekend, you're not doing so if you grumble and complain. You're not holding fast to the Word of God. The Word of God plainly teaches you ought not to be that way. You cannot hold fast to the Word of God in faithfulness and be doing so without any effort on your part to try to stop. I know we all fall short. You may say, I complained yesterday and I feel so bad about it. I am so glad that you feel bad about it. I sure don't hope for a moment that it doesn't bother you at all that you grumbled or complained yesterday. No big deal. That's what everybody does. It's in my genes. It's like mom, like son, like mother, like daughter. No. It's sinful what you did. And you need to feel guilty about it. There's hope then that maybe I can do something about it with God's help. Maybe I can improve. Well, no way do we need to regulate this topic this morning. And if you just come in, I'm talking about the absence, or actually I just call it stop complaining. That's what I call it. Stop complaining. We cannot regulate this topic to just some sort of back burner issue that if you've been a Christian 30 years and you're wanting something else to do, since I've matured so much in Christ, now what? Maybe you could work on that complaining part, that your problem you've got. No. This is for everybody. From square one, from the beginning of your baptism, you need to give some attention to this. A well-rounded development in Christ gives attention to all kinds of things in life that are not Christ-like that I need to work on, and this is one of them. Stop the complaining. Stop the grumbling, if you will. It can't be seen then as relegated to some minimal importance or application. It has got to be seen as potentially damning to your soul. Now, I know you feel like that's a bit of an overstatement right now. You will see, I think, in a few moments that I'm right on when I say that. That it is potentially damning of your soul. It could destroy you. You mustn't see this as a slap on the wrist. I should do better about that, but I know I won't lose my soul over it. You might. And if you doubt me now, and I can imagine you might think that's a bit of a, you know, you're really over the top with that, aren't you? No, I'm not. And I think you'll see why as we go along. There have been people destroyed for murmuring. And so I'm not over the top with this. I'm not trying to make a big mound out of a molehill. I'm not trying to make a big old issue out of something that's really rather minor. To sum up, to put it in review, if you will, if we expect to be different from the world, from the lost out there, and if we're truly going to be seen as children of God and make our faith more than some sort of vain exercise which will possibly disappoint us in the end, then we've got to stop complaining. Other terms of description are these. Do not be a grumbler. Do not be a murmurer. In your old King James, you would see that word murmur. The word itself tells you what you're doing. Murmur, murmur, murmur. You're grumbling and you're murmuring under your breath. A malcontent. You know, just like your parents probably, and I don't know any of your parents, I don't think, but just like your parents probably did, they got all over you for complaining. Parents worth their salt much would do such because they do not at all see it good that my child grows up complaining. And so if you began to complain, just as your earthly father or mother did to you, so our heavenly father tells any age person, Don't be a complainer. Now, why did we forget that at 21? What mom taught you so well. And we've turned into 50 and 60 year olds that are grumbling and complaining each and every way we turn. All right, let's get started with some other scripture references. That's the introduction, by the way. Let's go to Jude, verse 16. The next to the last book of the Bible is Jude. And there's a couple verses that I'll note with you there. Verse 16 and then verse 19. There's some evil men in the church here that Jude addresses, or he addresses the church and faithful Christians that have in their midst some very evil workers, and it's pretty much the primary target of the entire book of Jude. He's concerned about the damaging effect that these evil men in their congregation or in their church, in their midst, are bringing on to the others or bringing about, and to some extent it's already happened. They are blemishes. They're seen as being spots in their love feasts, he calls them in verse 12 and so forth. This is a problem that they've got on their hands. But notice that of their many bad characteristics, and there are a lot of them, of their many bad characteristics, one of them is that they are grumblers. In verse 16, these are grumblers. Complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and their mouth, and their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. They're grumblers, they're murmurers, they're complainers. And then dropping down to 19, they're sensual persons who cause divisions. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their lives. But they're in the congregation. Stop complaining. You know, when you read that description of the entire book, as well as the few couple verses I read there, I don't want any part of that. I sure don't want to be on the receiving end of the rebukes of Jude or the warnings to the faithful, how to avoid them and so forth. Sure don't want to be a part of that. Then we've got to stop complaining. Because that's a big part of what they were doing. Grumblers. Complainers. They are not spiritual-minded people in the way they behave in the church. Go to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, beginning in verse 10. I'm going to read now for the next 5 minutes a number of scriptures in the Old Testament which I will seek to hopefully convince you, if you have any doubt, that this potentially can destroy you if you don't get a hold of it, or at least make an attempt. God will judge your heart and your effort, but at least you've got to give some attention to this effort, this matter rather, of not being a complainer, a murmurer, a grumbler, if you will. All right, Exodus 14, look at verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Chapter 16, verse 1. These are Exodus, unless I say differently. Chapter 16, verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim. All the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained. There's our word for the hour. They complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's what complaining sounds like. Chapter 17, verse 1. Chapter 17, 1. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses. And here's what it sounds like. Why is it you brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Next book, Numbers. Chapter, actually two books over, Leviticus, then Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11, verses 1 through 6. Now when the people complained, my emphasis, I know. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it. Numbers 11, 1. And his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, and there's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Verse 18, Numbers 11, verse 18. Now you shall say to the people, the Lord speaking through Moses, you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you've despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? Bunch of complainers. Eat it until it makes you sick. Chapter 14, Numbers 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Verse 26 of chapter 14. 26 and 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complains against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me, and I've made a note of it. How long will I put up with this evil, complaining people? Complain, complain, complain. It is so wearisome to Moses. It is so wearisome to God. And yes, you're correct. He destroyed some people right where they stood for this offense. You murmurers, you're dead. Why does any of that have to do with me, though? That was olden days, in the days of Moses. Well, look at 1 Corinthians, and you'll see it has to do with you and me. And this was a verse I think we read on Friday night, so it'll sound like a repeat to you that were here then. But let's read it again. It's been a couple days now. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and refresh our mind about this business of the example of murmuring that applies to you and me. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 9. And there's more to the context, I know, but this is all I need for my purpose. We're told not to complain, nor complain, as some of them also complained. This is 1 Corinthians 10, 9. And were destroyed. You remember I mentioned that a moment ago. Then look at 11. This is where we need to focus. All these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. They are written down in Scripture that you would learn a lesson. that you would learn a lesson. Do not do as they do, as they did. You go back to verse number 6 and 7. You'll see that he's teaching that we ought not to do as they did, which included murmuring and complaining. So don't make the same mistake. Let us be wise to learn the lessons of the days of Moses and the Israelites as an example, and let us not complain. But what's so bad about it? What is so bad about complaining? What's so bad about grumbling, murmuring, and the like? I've got about 5 answers, I believe, if I recall. Number 1, it discourages other people. What's so bad about complaining? It discourages others. It's contagious, if you will. It has a way of spilling over onto others. Others, quote, see. They see things through now your complaining eyes that they might not have ever seen in such way until now that you brought it up. There are some folks, I hope you're one of them, there are some folks who are grateful for what they have. There are those who are optimistic about the future. There are others who are always looking on the bright side, who believe all things, hope all things. Hey, that sounds like 1 Corinthians 13. You're right. They are walking in the way of love of God. And then you come along and ruin it by complaining. Turn to Numbers again, chapter 14, verse 36. Numbers chapter 14, do you doubt me that it can be contagious, that others are affected by your complaining, not just you yourself is the only concern? Don't doubt it after hearing this. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 36, now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land. Here are these spies that come back and they make all the congregation turn into a bunch of complainers. It wasn't just a handful of spies. Ultimately, to begin with, ultimately, the whole congregation turned into a bunch of complainers. It took a little bit to ignite the whole. Here's another one. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, 26. Chapter 1, Deuteronomy, verse 26 through 28. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents. You complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakim, the giants that are there. We can't do it, people. And they complained, and it spilled over to people talking like that in their tents. We'd say in our houses. Privately, we then turn into complainers at home with what we've heard out there. What's so bad about murmuring and complaining? Answer number 1, it discourages other people. Answer number 2, it can become a bad habit of yours. It can become habitual. When you get it started, it can then begin to feed on itself. When you see one thing in a negative light, just one thing, but then it soon becomes other things as well, the same way. Let me put it on a very mundane level, just a very almost innocent level. You go into a restaurant to eat, and you complain about the service being so slow. Just wait a few minutes and the food was no good either. It's complaint on top of complaint. You've slanted yourself in a direction that causes you to have a perspective on other things that are following. It becomes a bad habit. One complaint is usually not where it ends, but where it starts. You know it's true. You complain about one thing in a person. Now we're getting a little above that mundane level of I don't like the service in a restaurant. Raising just a little. I complain about a person something I don't like about them. And before long, you're pointing out other faults that they have too that really was not the beginning of it all. Meaning, I just had one complaint about him, but before long, now be true with yourself, be truthful with yourself, you begin to think about another thing or two I don't like about him either. And what you're doing is you're trying to give justification to your complaint. I don't like that he does this, and I also don't like that about him either. So it can begin to be giving credibility to my complaint. I've got two or three things I don't like about him. Well, you only had one to begin with. It's like throwing gas on a fire. We're trying to underscore just how bad it is by pointing it out more. Brethren, this has got to stop. We have got to stop complaining about people. Number three, another thing. What's so bad about grumbling and complaining? It produces friction, dissensions. This is all one answer. It produces friction, dissensions, backlashes, discord, etc. And none of those words are good words. You don't want any part of that, right? Well, that's sometimes where things end up after complaints begin. Complaints have a way of escalating. Chronic grumbling produces a lot of tension with other people who are not wanting to be the way you are, seemingly, set. It has a way of sowing discord in ways that others just see as a complaint. Meaning you see it as a complaint, but it causes friction and divisions among others because of the complaint you've raised. I'll bring it back down on a lower level, just to illustrate. A wife works hard to put a delicious meal on the table for her man, her husband, when he gets home, and the first thing out of his mouth when he sits down is, well, this sure would have been a whole lot better if we had had such and such with it. Or, why didn't we have this ready sooner? Well, that kind of complaining is not going to win a closeness of heart between husband and wife, believe me. There's a place for saying, can't we eat sooner? There's a place for saying, you know, cornbread would sure go good with those beans, but maybe it's not the first thing out of your mouth. Complaining! After working so hard to get a good meal on the table, first thing she hears is, that's a complaint you got. Well, this would have been a lot better this way. This could have been better if it was done this way. It produces friction. Number four, I think it is, if you're numbering them. Grumbling and complaining is, what's so bad about it? It defeats yourself with depression and anxiety. It becomes a way that you think about everything. You become, you become a pessimist. You become a pessimist. You become paranoid also about others, and you're thinking and you are thinking about what are their motives for doing such and such. Complainers are not happy campers, are they? Complainers are not happy folks. The nature of what they're doing shows discontent, not happy. We never applaud complaining. Do you know, is there anybody in here named Joe? No? Okay. Do you know Joe? I don't want to pick on Joe if he's here. You know Joe? I love Joe. He is such a complainer. But don't be funny. It's not going to be that way. No one will ever applaud complaining. No one says, I wish I could be more like Joe. No one thinks that that is a characteristic of you or a quality of your character that is worthy of imitation. My dad was a great complainer. I sure hope I turn out to be one just like him. No, you don't talk that way. You know better than that. Doesn't take a lot of sense for you to realize that complainers are not happy folk. They may have happy moments, but they're not happy folk. Ultimately, it leads to their misery. It leads to more grumbling and complaining. And you heard correctly, it may defeat them. Turn to Deuteronomy again, chapter 1. You may still be there from last time. Verses 29 through 32, it may ultimately defeat, it did Israel, it defeated them. 29, Deuteronomy 1, then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. Moses said, I told you, don't be afraid of those people in Canaan, don't be terrified. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe. I could not undo your complaining. I could not undo your terror that those spies put into your mind and heart and made the whole congregation complain. We can't do it. Why did we not stay where we were? Complain. And I wanted to try to turn it around, convince you, yes, with God's help, we can do this. But I could not. I could not. It caused them to lose their faith and their courage. Next, I think this is number 5 or 6. Here's my note taker right here. I think it's number 5 or 6. It displeases God. Maybe I should have put this first. I've alluded to it, even though I haven't made it a major point of the lesson itself, that I'm devoting to it now for a couple minutes. It displeases God. That should be enough said. Enough said. If God says, lay off the complaining, okay, yes, sir, it's done. But I put it here last. It displeases God, exhibits a spirit of ingratitude, and is a lack of trust in Him. When we're always talking about what's wrong, what could be better, what I do not like about something, it reveals a heart of ungratefulness and discontent. And you're well aware of how important it is in our relationship with God that we always be thankful in everything, 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, we are to be thankful, right? And not in anything should we be covetous, we're told, and discontented. So we must cut out this complaining and cut it out fast. God is going to be sore displeased with us, judging us to be a bunch of ingrates, a bunch of ungrateful folk you are. I've done this, that, and the other for you, and you're sitting there thinking, well, why don't we have some meat to eat? You got all this out here, and you're delivered from slavery, and you're wondering, where's the meat? Eat it, and I hope it makes you sick. Bunch of ungrateful people. Where must I be careful in my turning into a grumbler, a complainer? Where must I be grateful? Careful, rather. Where must I be careful? I've got about 4 answers. Number 1, you need to be careful about complaining on the job. Or complaining about work. It may not be on the job, but it's about work to your honey when you get home or your kids or whomever. I know you may have been thinking this is a lesson about complainers in church. No, I have hardly anything much to say about that. We don't need to be complaining at all. Anywhere. Remember that we read in Philippians 2:14, remember that we're to do all things without complaining. It's not just in the church. Do all things in the church without complaining? Well, that would be true too. Syntyche and Euodia were 2 sisters in the Philippian church that needed to get along and stop their squabbling, infighting, and so forth. But that's about the only thing negative that he says about the Philippian congregation. Generally, then, when he gets down to this business of complaining, when he says, let's do all things, people, without grumbling and complaining so that we can be seen as a light in the world. He's not talking about just in the congregation stop complaining. That will be good. I'll touch on it in a moment. But it's not there that we need to see this has all got application. We need to not be complaining on the job, at work. It's simply not to be limited to church. Do you complain a lot about work? I'm not asking for hands to be shown here. Afraid who might pop up. Yes, that's me. Do you complain a lot about work? Do you? Either on the job or afterwards to your family and your children? We shouldn't. Do you complain about your boss? Do you complain about your fellow employees? Do you complain about your co-workers? You shouldn't. As a worker, are you often complaining about the hours that I have to work? I'm often complaining about the busy workload they put on me. I'm often complaining about whatever, but it has to do with work. Preachers, and I know, Jeff, that's primarily just you and me right now, but preachers can be guilty of this too. Yes, we can. Preacher, you who preach to others, do you preach to yourself? I'm listening. I'm listening to what I'm saying right now. Preachers complaining about the brotherhood problems, complaining about their local church, complain. You who preach to another need to preach to yourself. Self-preacher, stop complaining. Amen. Another area where we need to be careful about complaining is in the family, in the home. Why? Well, because God's forbidden it. That's why. Now we get simplistic. Why must I not complain in my home? It's my castle. I can do what I want in there. No, you can't. It's God's castle first. He built the house, and you don't need to complain in the Lord's house, your family. No complaining. Are we complaining about the responsibilities that I have as a homemaker? Am I complaining about my constant honey-do list that's getting longer and longer? Whatever. Are you complaining? The dislikes about my spouse. I don't like this about her or him. Am I often complaining about my children's irresponsible behavior? Am I complaining about the in-laws? Ooh. We should. We should. Here's another one. I said I'd talk about church just a couple minutes, and now it's here, come up in my notes. Do we complain about church? Do we complain about congregational matters? There is a right way to criticize. I know that. I have an entire sermon called How to Criticize Without Being Critical. I know there's a way in which you can say, I have this that I do, I have against you, I don't like. Even Jesus did that in the book of Revelation. This, I know, it's very complimentary or commendable. I like that about you, but I have this against you. There's a way it can be done. I know you can say, I don't like this about something, but as a general rule, harping on problems, rather than providing help and solutions, just grumbling and complaining is not very helpful. There are often people willing to complain and say, we got a problem here, brethren, we need to work on this. And boy, are the numbers few of those who are willing to, you know, pitch in and try to do something about it. A lot of complainers, few that are willing to lift a hand and say, let's see if I can help out and get in this situation. Oh, but they'll complain in a minute. Don't like that about the church. Don't like that about the preacher. Don't like that about the brother, the elders, or whatever. Where's the solution makers or, get, you know, those that are contributing to helping? Someone said this, it's a little saying, I like it, it's cute. Are we going to whine or are we going to shine? Which will it be? You're going to be a whiner or a shiner? Am I going to be a part of the problem by complaining about it? Or am I going to be a part of the solution? This next one you'll laugh at maybe, but I've got it there because we talk about it so much and we ought not to complain about it like we do. Maybe I wouldn't put this in my notes if we didn't talk about it so much, but we're always talking about the weather, right? Every day. Don't complain about the weather. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too dry. It's too wet. It's too sunny. It's too cloudy. And here in Omaha, it's too windy. And on and on and on and on we go. Complain, complain, complain. How about your health? Do you complain about the health and the prosperity that the Lord has blessed you with? Well, you probably don't complain about what you've got. It's what you don't got, right? It's what you don't have, right? That's what we complain about. I love the answer that some people give. It's a pat answer. It's an answer just, you know, they don't even hardly think about what they're saying, but I love it better than the alternative, and that is, how are you doing, Sister Jones? I'll make up a name. How are you doing, Sister Jones? You doing an elderly lady, maybe with a lot of, you know, infirmities of older age. How are you doing, Sister Jones? Oh, can't complain. Oh, man, I wish everybody would say that. And then do it. Don't complain. How you doing, sir? Can't complain. Can't complain. There was an older sister, Bertha, I believe was her name, and she obviously had lots and lots of problems, as it's evident. You don't have to even ask. You can see that you've got a lot of problems as the grave is drawing nearer. Sister Bertha, how you doing? You doing okay? I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. You going to look on the bright side? You going to whine or you going to shine? I'm so blessed. The glass half empty or half full? Oh, it's always half full to the Christian. Oh, yeah, we're getting up there pretty high. Other than we're soon going to run out. Which way are you going to look at it? Don't complain. And finally, I may not go 45 minutes. And finally, a word to the children that are in the audience, and I know there's a lot of you here today. Does studying, and I mean in school, does studying, and at home for homework, I know you also study, does studying annoy you? Does it annoy you and make you complain about all your studies and homework so that you complain about it? Some in the world do not even have math tables, facilities, desks, and so forth. They do their math tables on the dirt floor. Stop your complaining. Do you complain about having to eat your veggies? Some people have nothing to eat today. Absolutely nothing to eat today. Eat your veggies and stop complaining. Do you complain about being a little overweight? Some children wish they had any fat on their body at all. You've seen the pictures. Stop complaining. I think I'm getting a little pudgy. Stop complaining! You complain about your parents bugging you about this or that. Some kids have no parents. Or they have parents that abuse them every day. Stop complaining that your parents love you and are so concerned about you that you call bugging you. And finally, complaining because you don't have the latest fad in shoes or whatever other attire. I'll just go with shoes. I don't have the latest fad in shoes. Be glad you have feet. Feet to put your shoes on. Some of those who've stepped on mines don't have feet to put shoes on. Stop complaining. Which are you going to look on? The whining side or the shining side? The bright side or the not so bright side? There's a southern expression. I was born in Montgomery, Alabama, so I can relate to the south as much as I can to the north. I've lived most of my life in the north, but there's a southern expression, and some of you here even may use it. When someone is complaining a bit, they catch themselves in the complaint, and they become aware that, you know, it could be a whole lot worse than really what I'm making it out to be. In other words, I seem to be getting a little bit overboard with my complaint here, and the response will be, well, just hush my mouth. Anybody ever use that expression? Nobody? Anybody? Who's southern? Who's northern? I can tell. Okay. Well, just hush my mouth. In all seriousness, though, when it comes to this matter of complaining, I need to just hush my mouth. May God help me and you to hush our mouth when it comes to complaining.